on events from other lives, which were repeated often enough that they're now overlaid onto current events happening in the present. Often they are of a pessimistic, negative nature, and they hold us in a deadlock. When this happens, we find ourselves living dismally by rote. And there is never any way that we can be fresh and innocent in the moment, allowing the moment to bring whatever it will. To change this, we have to let go of our addictions to our own success and security, and ultimately we have to let go of that whole composite image which we have about ourselves, our identity. We have to leave the worldly paradigm that we were given in childhood and move into another, more expanded paradigm where things are somewhat more aligned to a higher truth and where we're open to the creative flow of light and knowledge from the infinite. Along with being a doer in the world, we have to learn to become a receiver of Shakti, the primal energy or flow, and of the sweetness of perpetual renewal. We have to become open to the amazing synchronicity of the cycles of nature and aware of the infinite variations within the play of existence. It is the nature of existence to run in cycles. Cycles of change are constantly happening in nature. We see them everywhere. So too it is the cycles of change which allow growth and evolution in our own beings. If we slow down these cycles momentarily and take a magnifying glass to this natural process, we can see more specifically what's happening. As an old cycle completes itself, it halts its process of growth and goes into a process of the opposite, a process of dissolution or decay. Then the prevailing order is changed. So too do we go through a process of birth, growth, and then decay and death. These are quite natural cycles which occur within the boundaries of our birth and death. Very often, the rebirth cycles, or so-called growth cycles, are characterized by the yang energy, where we tend to express our inspiration outward in creative projects which fulfill us and bring us the satisfaction of having made something in physical form which can be seen by everyone. Whereas the cycles of dissolution are often associated with yin energy and appear to us to be cycles of decay, because the yin energy is an inward turning energy. They're only decay if seen in terms of productivity in the world. The yin cycles are actually times of enormous growth, and as we turn inward, we're renewing our being, often on unconscious levels. And in our culture, this is often regarded, quite mistakenly, as a slump or a cycle of non-productivity. We feel, in other words, useless when we're in an inner cycle. This is a great mistake. Granted, it's harder to see the changes in the rich inner growth, the renewal, and the reorganization that's taking place. But that does not mean that it's not happening. We sometimes even think that we're having a depression during this time of great renewal. What a shame to burden such an exciting transition with such a low estimate. So, in the process of self-discovery, we're choosing to grow beyond the boundaries which we were given as a result of our conditioning in childhood. And for a variety of reasons, we're seeking to expand a pattern because we found it too limited and confining. In order to do this, we must be in tune with the natural process of cyclical change. If we're able to see the method in which this process unfolds, we can become harmonious with it and allow dissolutions to take place at certain critical times in our evolutionary cycle. the ability to practice the art of dissolution and rebirth has become an integral part of the pathway to liberation in many different disciplines. And for us, it's an aspect, an important aspect, of the fast path. And awareness of this process makes it possible for us to go through continuous dissolution and rebirth as part of our transformation. This is most important. When there is a discussion of dissolution, the subject of fear always comes up, especially for the beginner. The old pro has learned that the fear is not to be taken seriously, that it's just part of the process of dying or dissolution. But the beginners, when they find themselves dissolving, may become swept away by the fear. It behooves us at this point to take a look at fear. It is my considered opinion that all fear has as its root the fear of death. A number of people have said to me lately, "Well, I do not have a fear of death, but more a fear of living." My answer to this is that that is just a fear of death in disguise. If life were not threatening at all, would you have a fear of it? It's the risks involved in life that make us unsure of it. Risks at an ego level are nothing other than a moment in time when we confront our fear of death. I include the fear of maiming, destitution, abandonment, and loneliness as well, because to me, they are a kind of death. They mean the death of life as we've known it. There are many kinds of deaths other than the death of the body. In fact, in life, any situations where you lose power, you tend to become defensive and contracted and ready to fight. You're fighting to defend your life. Now, it may not be a life-threatening situation, but we interpret the loss of power as the beginning of a decline in energy, and every decline in energy, if it progresses to its furthest extreme, will end in death. This is what the unconscious belief tells us. It's erroneous. So, if we go on red alert the moment something takes our energy. As we progress in this work, we become so detached that we begin to see that fear is really just another frequency, one among the many, that the ego uses to lock us into limitation. As we learn to dissolve, we allow fear to pass through without creating a reaction and a pulling back. We begin to realize that fear is a frequency, not a necessity or a reality. Another point about taking risks. I'd like to mention that there is another way of looking at it. As I said earlier, risks are nothing other than a moment in time when we confront our fear of death. This is true on an emotional, egoic level, but I would like to bring in here a more enlightened viewpoint on risk-taking and say that risk-taking is also a moment when you put yourself into the hands of the divine. You open to the void and allow divine providence to support and take care of you. We've called this state skywalking. The reason that it's scary is because we feel that without total control, we're facing our death. The idea of universal support is not part of the worldly paradigm. Therefore, letting go of control, as in risk-taking, is facing death. Rather than our perceiving it, actually, as facing God. As we open to the void, we're facing God. We, on the other hand, from our limited state, are creating ourselves to fear God because of our wrong seeing. Emotional energy always has a way of seeming especially real. If we're feeling it, it seems it must be real. So we're much more likely to buy into something if it hits us on an emotional level. Emotional states are no more real than mental or physical states. Except I must say that I think we interpret physical states as the most real of all. If it exists in the physical, it must be real. This is our belief. Nothing is more convincing a reality than physical symptoms like pain in the body, sores, sickness, and other forms of physical deprivation. In risk-taking, We have the emotional, mental, and physical evidence that we are breaking